Today we are finishing the last message, a series of messages on the Psalms, as we walked through the Psalms these past couple of months. And we've heard some really great messages from our brother, Chaplain Johnson, and then, of course, you know, you've heard some great messages from me, right? Wow, that's pretty bad that I would actually say that. This is a great study. I've really enjoyed looking at this 23rd Psalm in depth. And today we're going to look at Psalm 23, particularly verse 4. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, verse 4. I know that in your bulletins we have written the title of this message is Rescue and Refuge, or one of those. But really, as I was going through and preparing for this message, it's the same message, but I decided a better title for this message is really, as I look at it from a different perspective, that this message is about authenticity, about being authentic. And I think one of the neatest stories, I've always loved the story, it's from a children's book, and it's called The Velveteen Rabbit. How many of y'all are familiar with The Velveteen Rabbit? Have read? Not, wow, I would expect a whole lot more. Okay, well, a really interesting story. It is a children's book, and that really speaks about being real, about being authentic. And so one of the characters in the book is called the Skin Horse. And he's one of the toys in this nursery that's been around for a long time, and he's seen toys come and go. And so this is an excerpt from that children's book. I wanted to share it with you. The Skin Horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hair in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger and by break their mainsprings and pass away, and he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced like the Skin Horse understood all about it. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day, which was a new toy in the nursery, brand new toy. He says, what is real? Asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and they stick out handle? The rabbit asked. Real isn't how you are made, said the Skin Horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the Skin Horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the Skin Horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily and or who have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. I suppose you are real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it, for he thought that the skin horse might be sensitive to what he said. But then the skin horse only smiled with contentment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you accept the suffering servant, the suffering Savior that is mentioned in Psalm 22, and if you have not yet read that psalm, I encourage you to read Psalm 22 and then read Psalm 23. So when you accept the suffering Savior in Psalm 22, you can receive the promise of a sufficient and great shepherd in Psalm 23. And then we will be able to lift our heads to the supreme sovereign in Psalm 24. He is a Savior on a cross, who is a shepherd who cares, and a sovereign king who sits on the throne. David explains that it is of paramount importance that we know who it is that is the shepherd, the great shepherd. So he gives us this ocular demonstration and a pictorial illustration of what our shepherd does to meet the needs of his dense and sometimes defenseless, oftentimes defenseless sheep. Being authentic and real, it doesn't mean that you have to experience multiple horrific tragedies in your life, nor does it mean going through trials of life guarantee authenticity. But I believe that it is in this valley that David is talking about where David becomes an authentic person. It is in the valleys of life where we are authenticated and we grow to a knowledge of who God is and who we are. See, it is in the valleys that our faith is broadened and strengthened and emboldened. I love the story in the second book, or I believe the third book in the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and it's Prince Caspian. And Lucy, in the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Lucy is the smallest of the family that goes into this make-believe world of Narnia. And so she's the smallest, and she's one of the first that comes into a saving knowledge or understanding of who Aslan is. And Aslan is this character, this lion character who represented Christ. And in the second book, when she comes back into Narnia, it's really interesting how she, when she comes in contact with Aslan, who is now the resurrected, because in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he's killed by the wicked witch, and then he's resurrected. And then they win the battle in the final part of the book. And then when Lucy comes back and she meets Aslan, she notices something about Aslan. He's much bigger than he was before. And so Aslan went on to explain it was because of Lucy's faith that it has grown that Aslan had become bigger. And I believe that it is in the valleys, in the shadow of this valley of the shadow of death, that our faith is emboldened and that God becomes a bigger God. And there's nothing too big that he cannot handle. You see, when sheep get lost, trapped between two mountains, and if it's at the right time of day where the sun is casting a shadow, and I don't know if any of y'all have been in the mountains right about time when the sun's starting to go down, especially if you're camping or backpacking, that, you know, like here, when the sun goes down, you get pretty much all of the sunlight of that day. But if you're in the mountains and you're in a valley and you've got mountains on both sides, it can become dark very fast. And if you go up on top of the mountain, then it's light again. But if you're in the valley, and so you have this, the sheep are down in the valley and the sun casts a shadow. And the sheep think that night is coming. And then they get afraid. David says that when the shadows of life come over us, don't be afraid. Going into the valley will document, authenticate, and validate what and who we are and who we really depend upon. The valley is a place where we will definitely find out who God is and discover who we are in light of our relationship with Him. The valley is a place where we will definitely find this out. The psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it's the picture of the sheep led by the shepherd, walking down a steep hill, fearful because of the possibility of death. Death like shadows can't hurt us. Nobody's afraid of a shadow, but a shadow appearing down a dark street, reflected off the streetlight, can stop you in your tracks and have you afraid, thinking someone may be following me. A shadow is like a knife that won't cut, or a bee that doesn't sting, or a dog that can't bite. Walking through this is like the shadow of death. We have no need to fear. The Bible says that fear not what man can do, but God, who has the ability to destroy both body and soul. An authentic Christian knows the truth about the shadows of death because they know the great shepherd. So first of all, we must understand, in order to become the steps to being an authentic Christian is to know the truth about the shadows of death, that they cannot hurt you, that they cannot destroy your soul, that they cannot take you down and take away your life. But also, we must understand this because an authentic Christian knows that the truth about the shadows of death because they know the great shepherd. Authenticity trusts the great shepherd. Then the psalmist says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And I think David was, in a lot of ways, he was a lot like the Apostle Paul. Where Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians, says, "I am confident that he who began a good work in me will perfect it to the day of Jesus Christ." David also knew that no matter what he went through in life, and he went through a lot of stuff, he experienced a lot of trials. He knew what it was like to be in combat, to experience post-traumatic stress, to lose someone you love. He went through all these things, and he knew, and he had confidence that God was with him through all of it. David is saying that when you are going through something that makes you feel like you're going to die, don't worry, because the Lord is with you. Listen to these words of our Savior in John chapter 11, starting in verse 24, as he is talking to Martha, and Lazarus has just died, and Jesus had delayed his trip to come and see Lazarus, who was sick. Lazarus had died. And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." most of us, I believe we try to somehow flesh it out and on our own mental muscle, and we try to make it through the trials sometimes on our own strength. But God has a way of showing us that life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that a man possesses. You'll find out that Swiss bank accounts can't purchase healing, or brass bed Sealy mattresses with new and improved springs. You still can't sleep at night. Or a house alarmed and insurance is in place, but you still can't purchase security. Even the familiar friend will turn his head, heels up against you during the valley of the shadow of death. But God will always be there. When life fails us, when your dreams have been shattered, broken, and you feel like there's no way out, or you feel that your friends, maybe even family members, have let you down, and they will. I know I have. I've let my family down. I've let my friends down who have counted on me. But I know that God will never let us down. He will never deceive us. He will never lead us astray. He will guide us through that valley of the shadow of death. But God's greatness that He is, always was, and always will be, shows up in that valley. He validates who He is and what He can do by allowing us to deplete what it is that we are in the flesh, to show us that He is more than enough, even without us. Not only does God validate who He is in the valley, but we are also validated and authenticated in the valley. You know, I used to get so irritated and so frustrated when I was in college, and I had certain friends that would always blow the top off of exams, and they would hardly study at all. And I had this one friend had the same first name as me, Ken, and I'd like to study with him because he was a real smart guy, you know. And I figured, hey, if I study with this guy, maybe it'll rub off on me, and I might do well. And I'd been studying like days prior to my Greek exam and New Testament Greek, and we would get together, and he would last about an hour and a half of study time before he was yawning and saying, okay, I got to go to bed, you know. And then I'd stay in his room sitting there studying still while he's sleeping. And we'd go in the next day, and he'd take the test, and he'd make like a 97 or a 100, 105 because we had bonus points. And I would squeak by with an 85 or maybe a 90 if I got lucky. And I worked so hard. I thought, Lord, that's just not right. That's not right. But I realized that it's even in little valleys like that that God authenticates us. We become real. And as I look back on my career in the Army and even before, when I was working in a hospital, before I came into the Army, I worked at Duke University Medical Center in clinical pastoral education. I was doing a year residency. And I never will forget my first night on call duty. And I started my on-call that morning. And it had been a horrendous day. We had our normal stuff that we do in CPE class. We meet with our groups and all this different stuff and writing that we're doing and verbatims. And so I'm getting called constantly. And Duke University Medicals, the medicine's pretty big. It's got about 1,100 bed capacity. And to get from one end of the hospital to the other, it just practically takes you about an hour walk. But the day had been long, But then the real trouble started that night. And I never will forget it. Everybody had left, and it's just the regular staff that was there for the evening at the hospital. And all night long, my first on-call duty, I got 10 calls where, 10, I put one hand up, 10 calls, I do know how to count, 10 calls where people had died. And I had to respond to either an OR or an ICU where I would meet with the doctor to meet with the family in the waiting room to give them news that their loved one had died. And several of those calls were in the ER where there was no anticipation of someone dying. It was an emergency, like a car accident. And so this went on all night long. And that was one of the longest nights. I mean, I felt like I was in the shadow of death all night long. But God was with me through it all. And I look back on it and I went, God, why one night? Why do I have to go through that? Why did I have to experience that? And then I realized later on as I was deployed to Iraq in OIF-1, and I was experiencing where we would have casualties coming in through the battalion aid station, and we had soldiers that were killed in action. And I realized that God had allowed me to go through that experience that I might be real and that I might understand and be able to empathize with those that were going through similar circumstances. And I believe that even as a family life chaplain, that God has allowed me, that some of my, like the skin horse, some of my hair has fallen out, I feel like my eyes have been, I've had eye surgery and still have to wear glasses, as I get older. And so I've been through these things in life, and I know that many of y'all have been through them as well. And so God allows us to go through those things that we might be real, that we might be authentic. Because you know what? As the lost world out there looks at you, they're not looking for you to be perfect. They want to see how you respond when life hits. When life happens, they want to see what you're made of. They want to see what kind of character you have. And so as we go through these things, know that God is with you through it, and that through it, God is going to use you as an authentic Christian to reach others for Him. Authentic Christians know the truth of the shadows, and authentic Christians trust the great shepherd, and authentic Christians embrace discipline. Here is an excerpt from the book, The Road Less Traveled. I spent much of my ninth summer on a bicycle. About a mile from our house, the road went down a steep hill and turned sharply at the bottom. Coasting down the hill one morning, I felt my gathering speed to be ecstatic. To give up this ecstasy by applying brakes seemed an absurd self-punishment. So I resolved to simultaneously retain my speed and negotiate the corner. My ecstasy ended seconds later when I was propelled a dozen feet off the road into the woods. I was badly scratched and bleeding, and the front wheel of my new bike was twisted beyond use from its impact against a tree. I had been unwilling to suffer the pain of giving up my ecstatic speed in the interest of maintaining my balance around the corner. I learned, however, that the loss of balance is ultimately more painful than the giving up required to maintain balance. It is a lesson I have continually had to learn, as must everyone, for as we negotiate the curves and the corners of our lives, we must continually give up parts of ourselves. And in that last verse in Psalm 23, verse 4, says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We cannot survive this world in life without God's rod and his staff. They do comfort us. And God does discipline those that he loves. And I wondered about that when David, the psalmist says his rod and his staff. Well, you know, the rod and the staff was sort of instruments of discipline for the lost sheep. And sometimes they had to be pretty firm with those sheep and to get them to go in the right direction because they didn't have a whole lot of brains and no intelligence. And so, you know, God sometimes has to be firm with us. He has to discipline us. And the Bible says that he loves those whom he disciplines. And just as it with those of you that are parents, that you discipline your child because you love them. And researchers and psychiatrists and experts on raising children have determined that a child without boundaries, without limits, is an unloved child. And they feel unloved. And they don't feel the security of those boundaries. And so when the psalmist says that his rod and his staff, they comfort me, it's because he knew and he was able to recognize that God's discipline in his life, that without boundaries, it got David into a lot of trouble. And that he knew that his rod and his staff were comfort to him to have those limits, to know where God would have him to be. Authentic Christians know the truth about the valley of the shadow of death. Authentic Christians trust the great shepherd and know that they are safe in his care. And last of all, authentic Christians embrace the discipline and guidance of the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd. Let us pray. The gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together, to worship you, to gather together in your house, Lord. God, we just ask that you would as we leave this place, Lord, help us to know what the shadows are about, to know that we have no need to fear the shadows of the valley, the shadows of death. And Lord, that you would teach us to understand and to trust you in all of our life, in all areas of our life, Lord, that we trust you. And that we accept your discipline as a means of your love and your care in our lives. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.